team. Four-man rush again. Fields to the end zone. Moore, touchdown. So Fields, who had the big first half last week, 20-yard cheer, down the field they go. Moore catches two passes, six plays, 75 yards in a little less than 3 minutes, and Chicago draws first blood.
Well, watch Percy Butler, the safety. When you have a vertical receiver against two safeties that are high, the linebacker's got to be able to get vertical. Watch the safety be influenced here, and that creates the opening to the outside. Again, give Justin Fields a lot of credit. That throw should not be there if the safety's doing his job. And again, he makes some pay on the back end.
Third down and six. Fields to the end zone. Reaching up. Does he make the catch again? DJ Moore. Touchdown. He is having a career in one night. Beats Kendall Fuller again. That's 11 yards for the touchdown. He's already caught 5 for 137 and 2 scores.
How about the throw by Justin Fields? A little slant and go. Perfect placement. Fuller never locates the football. And Moore so comfortable being able to get his feet down. Watch this route. Watch Fuller bite on it man-to-man. Ooh, little inside move. And the throw could not have been any better by Justin Fields.
Pass is pulled in by Moore. Gets free. Washington gambles and lose the gamble that time. 56 yards, touchdown. Fuller trying to jump it. Moore able to make the catch and then free to the end zone. And a 230-yard, three-touchdown night for number two.
All right, so there is a courtesy of Amazon Prime, and you're listening to the voices of Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. Fields and Moore connected 8 times, 230 yards. DJ Moore will join Mully and Haw, 8 o'clock live right here on 670 The Score. And by the way, you are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Busey Bank. And it's not a game, Illinois.com. Some great guests, Ross Tucker, Joe Fortenbaugh. You got DJ Moore, you got Brad Biggs, and then Bernstein and Holmes. You got Brisker, I love that kid. Anthony Herron, Kevin Fishbane. You got Tim Jenkins, Perkins and Spiegel, Kreutz, Weider, and Jalen Johnson. And again, the Bears get it done right here on the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful morning to talk about Bears football, 40-20. Over the Washington Commanders after the ball game. One of the investors, I think you've heard of him, Magic Johnson, who was at the game, ripped his ball club. They played with no energy, no passion. And then the reporters went down to the Washington locker room and they said, hey, you hear what Magic said? And the players are saying, he's right. So I don't care about Washington. All I care about is about the Chicago Bears. And again, we want to hear from you at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. During the broadcast, I thought it was a very fair broadcast. I really enjoyed Al Michaels, as I often do, but Kirk Herbstreit had a lot of good things to say about the Bears.
It just looks like a team that's kind of ticked off and tired of it. You know what I mean? They're playing with a lot of emotion tonight. I tell you, the seat doesn't get any hotter than what he and Justin Fields are dealing with in Chicago, having lost 14 straight. And they're trying to put in, you know, staying positive, and they're trying to get through the storm, saying the right thing. But, you know, it's eating them up. And this first half's been great for them.
All right. So, again, the Bears in the win column, and it was so sweet to get a W.
That's going to do it. John Bates makes the catch. What a night for Fields. What a night for Moore. What a night for Matt Eberflus. There he is. Getting this team ready. Great job. Coming off the disaster last Sunday. Short week on the road and man alive. First win in almost a year.
Yep, so there you go. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take this lines open because we have one full hour remaining before we turn it over to Dustin Rhodes with a pregame show, and he'll have plenty of news regarding the Bears and Washington, and also probably previewing what's going on in Major League Baseball. But see, this is the beauty of doing midnight to 5 a.m. This is live radio, folks. This is not network stuff. So we aren't talking about the Twins and the Astros or the Braves and the Phillies, okay? We're talking Bears football, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. If you want to share your thoughts on Dick Butkus, you know, Dick, as I mentioned maybe an hour or so ago, was very active in social media. And he connected with fans, not only on Facebook, Instagram, but also on Twitter. And one of his tweets of September the 10th, he was in the back of the end zone at Soldier Field, and he had a cane, and he tweeted, and this is Dick Butkus on September the 10th, he tweeted, "Somebody give me some pads and a quarterback to tackle," and that was Dick Butkus. I mean, really. And he was taken just a day or so ago. But, you know, Dick Butkus really personified what the National Football League, and especially that position that he revolutionized, what linebacker was all about. Dick Butkus gone at the age of 80. I still can't believe I'm saying this past tense, but Dick Butkus really left an indelible mark on the city, on the state, on the National Football League, and also, I might add, for his family. He just celebrated his 60th wedding anniversary. God bless him. God bless his family. You know what, Tyler? Tyler Farringall is our producer. Do we have the press conference with Justin Fields now? Can we play that? Because I'm so happy for Fields. He took, and again, we still have a lot of football in front of us. But I'm encouraged what I've seen out of him the last two games, ever since maybe the offensive coordinator and the head coach, and everyone's on the same page now to let him be Justin Fields. But here is Justin Fields talking about himself and the Bears following a 40-20 win at Washington.
How did you feel the breakthrough tonight?
I felt good, you know. It's a feeling, you know, that we all had after the game. It's a feeling that you just never wanted to end. So, you know, just proud of the way, you know, all the guys came out and played tonight. And, you know, O-line did the thing versus the dominant D-line. They showed out. Really just everybody, you know, running backs did their thing. Receivers, of course, did their thing too. So just proud of everybody.
Justin, there was a lot of tension in the second half when they were making their comeback. How did it feel to see DJ running away with the ball at the end and knowing that that was going to be it?
A sign of relief for sure. You know, I think we just had to reset. Of course, the drive where we had a false start, you know, everybody was kind of jumping around a little bit, but it just went over to the guys and just said, you know, calm down. You know, we're in a great position. Defense going to go out there and do their thing. And they did, got a stop. And, you know, of course, when DJ made that catch and run, it was pretty much game over by then. So, you know, heck of a play, great catch, great protection up front. And executed it well.
Do you think he stepped out on the other play?
I couldn't see it, but I think they should have just let it play out and then, of course, review it and then overturn it. But they usually do that. I'm surprised they didn't. But, I'm going to go with him and say that he didn't step out, even though I couldn't see it at all. But he didn't think he stepped out. But
He had the majority of your yardage today, and he should. I mean, you're throwing to him all the time. He's there for that reason. Mm-hmm. What does that change about your game to have the best receiver that you've played with during your career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it makes my job easier. You know, they left him one-on-one more times than I thought they would tonight. So, you know, when you always have him one-on-one, you know, he's going to win 95% of the time. So, just thankful for him, to be honest. He makes my job way easier. So, yeah, I mean, he showed up tonight. 8 catches for 230. Like, that's a crazy stat right there. So he definitely did his thing tonight for sure.
The first third down that gets him for 58, can you just walk us through that play there?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a pure progression left to right. Got one high on that, and he was just one-on-one, like I said again. So one-on-one, he double move at the top, got the corner off of him, and then he was just wide open. So, yeah, I mean, great protection because, I mean, you definitely need time on that play for that, you know, route to develop. Great protection up front. And of course, he routed up the corner at the top, so I mean, made my job easier. Buddy was wide open, so yeah.
Justin, as far as throwing to DJ, have you gotten more? I don't want to say forced it to him, but have you gotten more aggressive throwing to him than you were in the first couple games?
Not really. I mean, you know, I think my biggest thing to Luke is anytime we can give him the ball, you know, he's get him the ball because one, he's a great receiver. We all know that. But, you know, two, just with the football in his hands, you know, he's able to make guys miss, you know, like you saw in that. He think he had like a 10-yard stop route or whatever, caught it, made the corner miss, broke the tackle. So anytime you can give him the ball, you know, it's always going to, you know, be good for us, for sure.
It's a 10-point game in the fourth quarter, and you have that drive that you lead them down. Like, how important is that for you to be able to put a team away on the road and get that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. I was just, you know, preaching to the O-line before the drive started, like, touchdown seals the deal right here. So, you know, glad we were able to go out there and do it. Like I said, they protected their butts off all night against a great defensive line. Proud of those guys for the work they put in, you know. Really just proud of everybody, you know, proud of everybody blocking the outside noise out and really just working. So really a tribute to everyone in the building for doing that.
The passing game had more carries tonight than he'd ever had in his career combined, something like that. What's it say that he was able to step up when you guys ran out of running back?
Yeah, I mean, he's a ball player. You know, you can put him anywhere and he's going to, you know what to do. You know, he's just a football player. Put him at tight end, receiver, running back, fullback, and, you know, he's going to get the job done. So proud of him for stepping in, doing his job, and really just, you know, carrying the run game late in the game.
Come back and try, you know, on the one play, just shake his head and yeah, go off. Is that hard to watch?
I mean, I asked him on the sideline how he felt. He said he felt good enough, but, you know, he came in, and then, of course, I didn't see him after that. But, you know, I'm just thinking he's getting a break. But I kind of got it after, you know, he didn't come back in. But, you know, it just shows you what kind of person he is, how much he loves this game, how much he loves the team. So, you know, just the amount of, you know, effort and try that, you know, he was even able to, you know, come back on the field and just try to play with his brothers out there. That's a, you know, we see that as a team. So that makes us want to play harder for him. And, you know, I should have just made a better throw so he wouldn't have got hurt, to be honest. But proud of him regardless. So,
Justin, yeah. You tried lowering your shoulder on that one play. Can you just take us through that where you're trying to, you know?
Yeah. I pick and choose when I do that. You know, usually I don't do that. But saw a little corner and tried to, you know, give him a little But, yeah, I probably won't see that too much. I mean, anymore. I'll probably get talked to about that in film. Probably just, you know, taking care of myself and doing that stuff. But, yeah, I pick and choose. I know the DB probably weighed like 190, but linebacker, you probably won't see me doing that. But pick and choose when I do that.
Tush push, is that new for you guys? Breaking that a little bit?
I mean, not really. We've had it in for, you know, quite some time. I think the O-line did a great job executing it tonight. And, you know, anytime you can get a third and short, fourth and short, and be able to convert on those downs and get a new set of downs, that's going to be big for offense and defense. So, you know, glad we were able to execute on those third and shorts tonight.
It's a moving parts on the offensive line, especially at center, and having even Tevin back in there. How do you think they did and managed all the moving parts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were preparing for that to happen pretty much all week. You know, Lucas and Cody were both, you know, playing center this week during the walkthrough, so I kind of knew that could have went down that way. But, you know, I think they handled it really well. You know, all those guys in the room are really close. They get each other better each and every day in practice. So, you know, just proud of the way Cody stepped in at center. And, you know, you can really put Cody anywhere, guard or center. He's going to get the job done. So, and, of course, you know, it's always good having Tevin back playing ball. So, yeah, but proud of those guys and the way they play tonight.
You mentioned the feeling in the locker room. How would you describe what that felt like in that?
Just felt good. Just seeing all the hard work pay off, especially, you know, getting a dub after everything that's, you know, happened this year. You know, everything in the media, everything on the outside. It just feels good when you can say that the hard work paid off. So again, I'm proud of everybody in the building. I love everybody on my team. Players, coaches, shoot, everybody upstairs. I might not even know them, but I love y'all. So, but yeah. So I mean, that feeling was, you know, like I said before, a feeling that you never wanted to end, and you know, we just gotta keep this momentum going, and you know, just get ready for Minnesota coming up next week. So appreciate y'all.
Okay, that's Justin Fields of the Chicago Bears. And Justin Fields, last two games, 43 of 64 in the air, 617 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 pick, and a passing rating of 131.3. And Justin Fields was spectacular, folks. Absolutely spectacular. He threw for 282, ran for 57. He was big time with more. Again, they connected 8 times for 230 yards. And Moore, who will join Mullion Hall at 8 o'clock, becomes the first Bears player to surpass 125 yards before halftime since at least 2000. And again, a career high for DJ Moore. And Al Michaels, during the broadcast, made a statement that this game alone put him in the Pro Bowl. And he's probably right. But again, it was great to see as the Bears ended a 14-game slide. Their last win came on October the 24th, and the Bears lost a ton of players. I mean, it was whether it was Edmonds, whether it was Patrick. You could go right down the list with Homer. Herbert. I mean, it was on and on and on. It was incredible what that line went through, and then DBs and running backs, and with Johnson going out with a concussion. It was unbelievable.
Also, I think a lot of people are forgetting, Chuck, is they, like you mentioned, the secondary, they already came in the game shorthanded. No Jalen Johnson, no Eddie Jackson, and Josh Blackwell, who was the replacement for Kyler Gordon, went on IR as well. So they were already depleted going in the secondary and into the game as it is.
Yes. So I'm already, you know, like I got criticized by a number of people, which is fine, on social media because I'm a fan. I'm not a broadcaster from the standpoint of covering the Bears. I'm not a beat reporter. I'm not a journalist. I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts. And let me tell you what, when the Bears were up 10-0, I could really sense, Tyler, that Washington came out flat. Now, again, how do you come out flat when you've lost 2 in a row, you're on national TV, and you're playing on your home turf? I don't get it. But again, you know what? The Bears played with no energy against the Green Bay Packers in the NFL opener. How can you not be ready to play a football game? Number one, it's game one. Everyone gets juiced up, you know, for game one.
And it's Bears Packers.
And oh, by the way, you're at home. Hello.
Soldier Field was rocking in that first half, but then once Green Bay started throttling it up, it died down really quick.
Yes, it did. So, having said all this, the Bears get the dub, and that's all that matters. They get the win, and now they get some time off, and they need some time off after all the injuries in this ball game last night, and they get ready for the Minnesota Vikings, the 1-3 Vikings, who entertain Kansas City on Sunday. And then the Vikings come to town, and this is not the Minnesota club of the last few years. This is a mediocre ball club, period. And the NFC North still trying to figure out some things other than the fact that Detroit, at least at this point, after 4 games, looks like the team to beat in the NFC North. In a moment, we're going to return with some highlights. We also want to hear from you because we've got about 40 minutes left before we turn things over to Dustin Rhodes with the pregame show and then the pick six and then Mullion Hall at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. You can call us. You can leave a text. We love getting both right here. This is Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Chuck Swirsky with you. Tyler Farrengel spinning the dials. And we are on the air live on 670 The Score. And we are having a ton of fun this morning. Why? Because it's Football Monday on a Friday. And you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Busey Bank. And it's nonagameillinois.com. I'm fired up. You're fired up. And the Bears are fired up. And, you know, we've been talking about Fields. And, you know, we've been talking about Moore. And DJ Moore, by the way, will join Mullion Hall at 8 a.m. But you know what, Tyler, what we have not done really a lot of this morning, we got to give some the defense some props. As you mentioned, they were really banged up already. Johnson, Anogo, and Jalen will join Parkinson Spiegel at 5 p.m. So Johnson, Anogo, Eddie Jackson to Anogo. By the way, when is Eddie Jackson expected back? I got to believe he's going to be ready for Minnesota, right?
Yeah, they've been unclear about that. It's kind of a week-to-week injury. So I would say with the 10-game break there, Chuck, that it'd be a surprise if we didn't see Eddie Jackson ready for Minnesota.
All right, but I think you're right. I think he'll go against Kirk Cousins and the Vikings.
Jalen Johnson as well. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play either against Minnesota.
That he will play against Minnesota, yes.
Yes.
So, speaking of which, so let's go with some defensive highlights, all right? Let's give some love to the Bears defense in honor of course, Dick Butkus, who passed away. And, you know, Dick would have loved this defensive effort because why? Let me tell you something. The Bears came in with only two sacks, two all season long in the first, four games. And against the Washington Commanders, they had five. And let's go with some of the highlights of the Bears D.
Oh, look out! Sack, big play. Stroman, who had the interception that led to a touchdown at the end of the first half and started his career with Washington. Huge sack. Look out, down he goes. And Gakwe with the sack. So coming into the game, two sacks in four games, three tonight.
Here, let's go Bears chant here.
Yeah. And a sack. That's Walker. So the Bears, two sacks in four games. And tonight, four.
And Walker is a guy that gives you versatility because he can play outside or he can play in here. And what a nice job there. Just sudden off the line of scrimmage and finishing. That's what they've been talking. They've been getting pressure, but finishing to get that sack.
It's unbelievable. Another sack. This time it's Rasheem Green. Meanwhile, with five sacks tonight, Howell's now been sacked 29 times this season. Most in the league.
Yeah, think about that, 29 times. But again, the Bears getting it done. Their line play, I give both lines a game ball because what they went through with injuries, but they really got after Hout in this ball game last night. So it was just more than sacks, though. There were other great defensive plays turned in by the Bears.
Howell throws, this is going to be picked off. Greg Stroman intercepting it on the pass right over the middle. And the defense goes down to celebrate as Howell throws the pick here, and Chicago's back in business again. Second and three. Howell fires. That's caught. It's going to be a first down here. Catch is made. Thomas. Tough ball comes out. Chicago thinks they have it. And they do. Terrell Smith comes away with it. That's the ruling on the field. Obviously, it gets checked out. So Thomas struggling, straining for the extra yardage, winds up costing him.
Yeah, and Greg Stroman's trying to get at the ball, but I think it was the rookie Smith, as you said, not just coming up with it. Stroman's in there knocking it away, but I think it's 32 with his right hand right there, pulls away to get that ball dislodged, and then right there, presence of mind to jump on it. How about the rookie out of Minnesota, four-year starter in college, presence of mind to be aware of, hey, we got a shot to get this football out, and they do.
Forced fumble, fumble recovery. They've checked it out. It's kosher, and they have it at the 46-yard line.
Okay, so there you have it with the Bears getting it done. I mean, think about this. The Bears, you know, they blew a 21-point lead against Denver at home, and the way they lost, and I mean, everyone in Chicago is saying, oh, again, you got to be kidding me, seriously? But then, short week, you're on the road, and you win by 20. And that is the beauty, folks. That is the beauty of sports. And that's why we keep coming back for more and more and more. You see what I did there? More, like DJ Moore. You catch that, Tyler? Thank you very much.
Good one.
So you got to wake up pretty early in the morning to get one by Swirsk. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, and welcome to a Bears Friday, and it feels good in the wind column. David, good morning. What's happening?
Hi, Chuck.
Yes, David.
Dave, I'm from Elgin, Illinois. I'm up listening to you, and it just reminds me, you're synonymous. I hear your voice, and it reminds me of Chicago sports.
Well, thank you.
It's awesome.
That's a very nice compliment.
You're faithful, and I remember my mom. So I was born in 65, so I caught the end of Dick Butkus's career and then caught the beginning of Walter Payton's, which was awesome.
Yes.
We'd get home from church, and the first thing she would say is, put the Bear game on.
Yep.
Right?
Well, if you were born in 65, Butkus retired in 72, 73, somewhere around there. And so you probably just a little boy, and Walter Payton was drafted in 75, I believe.
74, 75. Yes, but that's what got me to be a avid Bear fan.
Hmm.
And but I hear your voice, and it just reminds me of Chicago sports.
Well, I'll tell you what. I love Chicago. I love the city. And, you know, I came to the city as a sports talk show host. We were very fortunate to have the first nightly weeknight sports talk show in the city a long, long time ago. And, you know, people like Mitch Rosen, who have built this dynasty here at 670 The Score, and the ratings book just came out, and it's magnificent, which is a credit to, obviously, the staff and leadership and the on-air talent and people working with the on-air talent, because it's just more than
on it. I don't remember started your career in Chicago. I just know it feels like it's been since what?
1979. So long time ago there, David, but we had a lot of fun and still having a lot of fun. You know, my journey and my path took a turn to play-by-play, and I love Bulls basketball on 670 The Score. In fact, our first game, shameless plug, Sunday, and no, the Bears don't play, so people don't have to say, oh, Bulls, Bears, what am I going to do? You can listen to the Bulls right here on 670 The Score starting at 11:45. That's a noon tip. That's a noon tip for Milwaukee and the Bulls, but I love my job, and I love Chicago. Let's go to Adam in Villa Park. Adam, you're on 670 The Score. Tell me about the Bears game, or tell me about Butkus. Tell me what's on your mind.
Yes, Chuck, a lot of things on my mind. Great victory, but first with Dick Butkus, condolences on his passing, the pride of Chicago Vocational High School in Chicago. He just played the defensive highlights, and he would have been proud of that defensive effort. As a matter of fact, the defensive line, I thought I played a little bit like Doug Atkins would play, and the backfield a little bit like Richie Pettibone would play. So I know Butkus would have been proud of that effort. And on the other side of the ball, DJ Moore doing his best imitation of Johnny Morris. I remember Morris, a precise route runner, just like DJ Moore, a precise route runner, and both gained yards after the catch. So, yeah, great victory. I think they were really pumped up and kind of did it for Dick Butkus. I think it was a kind of an emotional high. And Chuck, the offensive line, I didn't want to leave them out either. I thought they did a good job in the run game and protecting Fields. And I appreciate you being on the air. I love having you on Score Overnight. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll tell you what. This is why I think there are a lot of positive things. You know, coaches after every game, well, I got to look at the tape, you know. But in this case, I think what he's going to look at are a lot of positive things that they can apply to the Minnesota game. And you cannot ever guarantee a win, but when you've got the Vikings coming in, right, and you got the Raiders coming in the week after that, and especially, listen, this is not a finished product yet for the Bears, as we know, having lost two home games already to Green Bay and Denver, respectively. But you think that's going to change. They're going to win home games. And especially against teams they can beat. and they can beat Minnesota at home. They can beat the Raiders at home. Now, they're going to have to play at a high level, but I'm thinking this club is set now to start winning some games. And the way Fields has played over the last couple of ball games, I am very, very encouraged. Let's go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Wayne from Lafayette. Wayne, how you doing?
Hey, big buddy. How you doing, man? It's great talking to you, man. You're a mighty famous, great guy, and I'm really, really thankful to be able to talk to you, Chuck.
Well, buddy. Thank you. So you're calling from Lafayette, Indiana, correct?
Yes, sir. I got to score on here 24 hours a day, every day.
You do?
But,
wow,
yes, sir.
That's awesome.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, I wanted to tell you,
yeah.
I wanted to tell you, Chuck, it's awful thankful that the Bears finally got their first win. Now, if they can beat that team, those guys just played the Eagles to a standstill, to an overtime. If they could beat them, they could beat most anybody. And so they got to get it in their head. It's time to start a winning streak instead of get over that losing streak stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you, Doug, in the old days, I used to go to Rensselaer for summer camp for the Bears. I met Big Doug Buffon. I met Dick Butkus. I met Mike Hartenstein.
Yep.
And I met Gale Sayers over there. But, I mean, I was really young. My dad used to take me over there, and it was really great over there. So I wish they were still there.
Yeah, well, Mike Hartenstein was an outstanding player. I believe he went to Penn State, if I'm not mistaken. But he was a tremendous Chicago Bears player. And I'm glad you called. I appreciate that, and I'm glad that you stuck through the Bears when they went to St. Joe's and Rensselaer. And various stops along the way, whether it was Platteville or Bourbonnais, and then, of course, Hallis Hall. So I'm glad you called, and I thank you, leaving one line open at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. What do you like about the Bears game? If you want to comment on the passing of Dick Butkus, please do so. Scott from the South Side. Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Hey, I just wanted to just touch on where do you think we are on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as moving towards Caleb Williams, because he's been the biggest hype in football for maybe like the last 5-10 years. So I wanted to know. I know prior to this last game, everyone was kind of leaning towards maybe going for a new quarterback in Caleb. So I wanted to know where is your rank or where is your temperature on a scale of 1 to 10 on sticking with Justin Fields or going for the next generational talent in Caleb Williams?
Well, I think it depends, and I understand the question, and it's a good question, a very good question. And I wish I had a really good answer, but I don't, and I'll tell you why. I think we need to see the volume of work for Justin Fields the rest of the way. I'm encouraged, and I think I see a lot of really good things, but I need to see things, and I'm not saying he's robotic, but I need to see things at a consistent, sustainable level every game. And that doesn't mean he can't play poorly. Every quarterback has an off game. I get that. You have to limit those games, and you've got to make sure and value possessions and not either fumble the football or throw a key interception. And that's ultimately how you're judged. Are you a winning quarterback? Do you make winning plays? Can you read and get that ball in a window where you've got to make quick decisions instantly? And so if I see this and that needle and that arrow is pointing up for Justin Fields and he had a really good year, I think the Bears need to pay him, because this is a young man who wants to be here, who cares about the organization, who loves Chicago, and he wants to be the leader of this franchise. And I think that with that type of character, I think you've got to re-sign him. Now, if he struggles and you're seeing an inconsistent quarterback, then if the Bears get the first pick in the draft, you got to draft Caleb Williams. I'm sorry, you do. Now, having said all this, they may get to the point where they're saying, you know what, we appreciate what you've done, your contract request is probably a little bit too pricey, and they could trade him. And there are a number of teams that probably would trade for Justin Fields. But I'm under the inclination, if I ran the Bears, I keep Justin Fields, and I use those two picks. One definitely will be very, very high. Carolina's could be the first pick in the draft. And you could parlay that into another trade and still maintain a top three pick and get another draft pick or a player if you move down in the draft, where then you could select either a wide receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. and match him on the other side against DJ Moore, and that would be lethal, flat out lethal, or you could get D-line help. I think the Bears are going to have a lot of options, but I am hoping that Justin Fields has a great season that will lead to a great career, that he will stay in Chicago and get paid. But there's a lot of unanswered questions, and only time will tell.
Thank you.
Okay. There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. And welcome back. Chuck Swirsky with you. And we've had a terrific, terrific show. Many thanks to Tyler Farengold putting our program together with different audio sound bites of the Chicago Bears' victory over Washington 40-20. Tyler, so I got a question. Has your prediction of the Chicago Bears changed after the ball game last night?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like, you know, you kind of would be a fool, honestly, to not alter your predictions in season, especially with the Cubs, the Bears. Oh, for sure. After those first couple games, Chuck, I would be surprised if they win more than 2 to 3 games. But now after yesterday, like I was saying earlier, the floodgates are open. They got the monkey off their back. If they perform like this at a higher level every week, they could realistically maybe double their win total like I originally expected. So long story short, yes. My expectations have changed once again.
Okay, and what were your expectations?
My expectations were an improved football team. I genuinely thought with getting a wide receiver one in DJ Moore that the offense would be a little more lethal than what happened last year. They wouldn't have to rely on Justin. And on defense, I knew the D-line would be a struggle, but with getting two premier tacklers on the market, I thought that was really good for the defense, so the secondary wouldn't have to do all the dirty work. I just thought they would be improved. I don't think they would be necessarily a playoff team, but they weren't going to be the worst team in football this year, right around that 9th to 12th place, like a 6-7 win team. If they got 9th to 12th in the draft, I think that's a respectable season. Double your win total, at least.
Can I just tell you one thing?
Absolutely.
I think Darnell Wright is going to be a stud. The Bears' number one pick out of Tennessee. I think he played very, very well last night. And I like what he's doing. I like this draft pick.
Yeah, you know, it's tough getting thrown in the fire like that right away as a rookie tackle in the NFL, but, I mean, the only way he's going to learn is to, it's like trial by fire. You know, you're not going to learn anything if you don't experience these kind of moments going up against a good D-line and the Commander. So, yeah, I agree. He's just got to get more reps, got to get more experience, and I think sooner or later he'll become a really good tackle for the Bears.
Absolutely. I think he's at least a decade-plus player with this organization. Hopefully he'll stay healthy. I'm just telling you right now, under the radar, no one's talking about him for what he did. And again, that patchwork O-line with a bunch of injuries. But I'm telling you what, that kid's going to be good. Just saying. And you can write it down right now. The Swirks has endorsed Darnell Wright.
Well, I think that's also why, too, he made the pick over Jalen Carter, because you see him making impact plays on Philly's D-line, and they're already pretty set as it is. But if he was really confident in Darnell Wright to protect Justin Fields and whoever else plays quarterback, then they really must have thought highly of him to pick him, trade back not only once, but twice again at number 10 overall.
Yes. Okay, here's another commentary. I get the fact the Bears gave up a second-round pick for Chase Claypool. That's a heavy price to pay. Pittsburgh doesn't make too many mistakes, okay? So Pittsburgh got rid of a player they didn't want for a second-round pick. Good on them. Bears, of course, whenever you give up a second-round pick, you always say to yourself, well, you know, change of scenery will help. He'll be different when he comes into our organization. Teams always think that way, okay? You have to think that way. He comes in, things didn't mesh, didn't materialize. I'm sure he's a good guy. I don't know him, never met him. I'm just saying on the football field, didn't happen. I give the Bears credit for this. They probably tried to trade him. I'm not sure what his trade value is. Maybe nothing at this point. Maybe they're just going to cut him loose and he'll be a free agent with some team. But I do admire the Bears for this, that when you make a mistake, you deal with it and you move on. I give Ryan Poles a lot of credit. Ryan Poles made a judgment that he could come to Chicago and the guy would be a winning player in this organization, and it didn't turn out that way. But he also recognized sometimes addition through subtraction, and that's why Claypool will never play for the Bears again.
Yeah, I mean, him basically saying that, I wish him luck, I mean, that's as clear as day right there. You're done. You're not coming back to the team. So long to your next journey, your next team, but you are not going to play for the Chicago Bears ever again.
Okay, so the Bears have denied this, but when Claypool came out and addressed his situation and how he felt about how he's being used, and then, of course, he was inactive, and the Bears said that had nothing to do with it, that it's about how they evaluate players in practice. Maybe it's a little of both. But when you get a player who comes out publicly and challenges what's going on with the coaching staff, to me, that's a red flag. I mean, he appears to be a very intelligent man. Claypool, I'm talking about. And I don't doubt that. I'm just saying that I think his emotions got the better of him. And also, his performance was not up to par.
Well, that's the other thing, too, about him is this isn't the first instance where we've sort of seen and heard sort of some riffraff or some drama going on between him and perhaps the coaches and organization. Whereas you see the whole thing with Justin Fields really was a one-time thing, but this has really been going on since this whole offseason of just sort of, is his head fully in it or not? And so I feel like this was the final straw of, okay, he flat out said, no, they're not using me according to my skill positions and talent, then find somewhere else to call home, buddy.
Yep. And I think the Bears were legitimately counting on him in training camp to take that next step. I mean, we saw what happened last year. He got injured and he really wasn't in the flow. And it was very disappointing when he came over from Pittsburgh. And then you would think, okay, let's see what he's got. And it was a disappointment, to say the least. No one expected this. I didn't expect it.
18 catches in 10 games.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
And again, I want him to do well. I want him to go to another club. Hopefully, he will learn something from this experience that he can carry on to the next organization, because someone's going to pick him up. Somebody will sign him. And I hope, wherever that is, that he flourishes. I really want him to do well. I really do. I mean, so... But on a positive note, Darnell Wright, under the radar, great. Fields, great. Moore, great. Players going down left and right with injuries. Guys going in the tent. Hey, they held it together. Good on them. 5 sacks and a night where the Bears looked like a terrific, terrific football team against a Washington team that's still trying to find themselves. But guess what? I don't care about the Commanders. All I care is about the Bears winning, snapping a 14-game losing streak, and it's history. It's over. All right. Many thanks, Tyler. Great job. Thank you. And I'm getting out of here. We got Dustin Rhodes with a pregame show coming up. We've got a full morning of Bears conversation, talking Bears, talking about the late, great Dick Butkus. And let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the life and legacy of Dick Butkus, a true Chicagoan out of Chicago Vocational, the University of Illinois, who bled navy blue and orange like no other Bear player. He loved it. All right, this is Chuck Swirsky. Always a pleasure. And we'll have more coming up next right here on 670 The Score. 67. And welcome back. Chuck Swirsky with you. And we've had a terrific, terrific show. Many thanks to Tyler Farengold putting our program together with different audio sound bites of the Chicago Bears' victory over Washington 40-20. Tyler, so I got a question. Has your prediction of the Chicago Bears changed after the ball game last night?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like, you know, you kind of would be a fool, honestly, to not alter your predictions in season, especially with the Cubs, the Bears. Oh, for sure. After those first couple games, Chuck, I would be surprised if they win more than 2 to 3 games. But now after yesterday, like I was saying earlier, the floodgates are open. They got the monkey off their back. If they perform like this at a higher level every week, they could realistically maybe double their win total like I originally expected. So, long story short, yes. My expectations have changed once again.
Okay, and what were your expectations?
My expectations were an improved football team. I genuinely thought with getting a wide receiver one in DJ Moore that the offense would be a little more lethal than what happened last year. They wouldn't have to rely on Justin. And on defense, I knew the D-line would be a struggle, but with getting two premier tacklers on the market, I thought that was really good for the defense, so the secondary wouldn't have to do all the dirty work. I just thought they would be improved. I don't think they would be necessarily a playoff team, but they weren't going to be the worst team in football this year, right around that 9th to 12th place, like a 6-7 win team. If they got 9th to 12th in the draft, I think that's a respectable season. Double your win total, at least.
Can I just tell you one thing?
Absolutely.
I think Darnell Wright is going to be a stud. The Bears' number one pick out of Tennessee. I think he played very, very well last night. And I like what he's doing. I like this draft pick.
Yeah, you know, it's tough getting thrown in the fire like that right away as a rookie tackle in the NFL, but, I mean, the only way he's going to learn is to, it's like trial by fire. You know, you're not going to learn anything if you don't experience these kind of moments going up against a good D-line and the Commander. So, yeah, I agree. He's just got to get more reps, got to get more experience, and I think sooner or later he'll become a really good tackle for the Bears.
Absolutely. I think he's at least a decade-plus player with this organization. Hopefully he'll stay healthy. I'm just telling you right now, under the radar, no one's talking about him for what he did. And again, that patchwork O-line with a bunch of injuries. But I'm telling you what, that kid's going to be good. Just saying. And you can write it down right now. The Swirks has endorsed Darnell Wright.
Well, I think that's also why, too, he made the pick over Jalen Carter, because you see him making impact plays on Philly's D-line, and they're already pretty set as it is. But if he was really confident in Darnell Wright to protect Justin Fields and whoever else plays quarterback, then they really must have thought highly of him to pick him, trade back not only once, but twice again at number 10 overall.
Yes. Okay, here's another commentary. I get the fact the Bears gave up a second-round pick for Chase Claypool. That's a heavy price to pay. Pittsburgh doesn't make too many mistakes, okay? So Pittsburgh got rid of a player they didn't want for a second-round pick. Good on them. Bears, of course, whenever you give up a second-round pick, you always say to yourself, well, you know, change of scenery will help. He'll be different when he comes into our organization. Teams always think that way. Okay, you have to think that way. He comes in, things didn't mesh, didn't materialize. I'm sure he's a good guy. I don't know him, never met him. I'm just saying on the football field, didn't happen. I give the Bears credit for this. They probably tried to trade him. I'm not sure what his trade value is. Maybe nothing at this point. Maybe they're just going to cut him loose and he'll be a free agent with some team. But I do admire the Bears for this, that when you make a mistake, you deal with it and you move on. I give Ryan Poles a lot of credit. Ryan Poles made a judgment that he could come to Chicago and the guy would be a winning player in this organization, and it didn't turn out that way. But he also recognized sometimes addition through subtraction, and that's why Claypool will never play for the Bears again.
Yeah, I mean, him basically saying that I wish him luck. I mean, that's as clear as day right there. You're done. You're not coming back to the team so long to your next journey, your next team, but you were not going to play for the Chicago Bears ever again.
Okay, so the Bears have denied this, but when Claypool came out and addressed his situation and how he felt about how he's being used, and then, of course, he was inactive. And the Bears said that had nothing to do with it, that it's about how they evaluate players in practice. Maybe it's a little of both. But when you get a player who comes out publicly and challenges what's going on with the coaching staff, to me, that's a red flag. I mean, he appears to be a very intelligent man. Claypool, I'm talking about. And I don't doubt that. I'm just saying that I think his emotions got the better of him. And also, his performance was not up to par.
Well, that's the other thing, too, about him is this isn't the first instance where we've sort of seen and heard sort of some riffraff or some drama going on between him and perhaps the coaches and organization. Whereas you see the whole thing with Justin Fields really was a one-time thing. But this has really been going on since this whole offseason of just sort of, is his head fully in it or not? And so I feel like this was the final straw of, okay, he flat out said, no, they're not using me according to my skill positions and talent. Then find somewhere else to call home, buddy.
Yep. And I think the Bears were legitimately counting on him in training camp to take that next step. I mean, we saw what happened last year. He got injured and he really wasn't in the flow. And it was very disappointing when he came over from Pittsburgh. And then you would think, okay, let's see what he's got. And it was a disappointment to say the least. No one expected this. I didn't expect it.
18 catches in 10 games.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
And again, I want him to do well. I want him to go to another club. Hopefully, he will learn something from this experience that he can carry on to the next organization, because someone's going to pick him up. Somebody will sign him. And I hope, wherever that is, that he flourishes. I really want him to do well. I really do. I mean, so... But on a positive note, Darnell Wright, under the radar, great. Fields, great. Moore, great. Players going down left and right with injuries. Guys going in the tent. Hey, they held it together. Good on them. 5 sacks and a night where the Bears looked like a terrific, terrific football team against a Washington team that's still trying to find themselves. But guess what? I don't care about the Commanders. All I care is about the Bears winning, snapping a 14-game losing streak, and it's history. It's over. All right. Many thanks, Tyler. Great job. Thank you. And I'm getting out of here. We got Dustin Rhodes with a pregame show coming up. We've got a full morning of Bears conversation, talking Bears, talking about the late, great Dick Butkus. And let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the life and legacy of Dick Butkus, a true Chicagoan, out of Chicago Vocational, the University of Illinois, who bled navy blue and orange like no other Bear player. He loved it. All right, this is Chuck Swirsky. Always a pleasure. And we'll have more coming up next right here on 670 The Score.